Kids are extremely creative. You can always find them scribbling, inventing a new game to play with their friends, or singing. But as they get older, they seem less and less likely to be found doing these things. Why is this? Could the current school system play a role in causing children to be less creative?
When we think of being creative, money probably isn't the first thing that comes to mind. However, it has a lot to do with how creativity is encouraged in school systems. Budgets for education are a constant debate. How much money should the schools get? Where should it go? How do we split it? In Rhode Island, the 2018 budget set aside $1,398,479,535 for education. This seems like a huge amount, definitely enough to run the state's schools adequately. However, when you realize that there are 53 school districts and 304 schools between them, that number doesn't seem quite as large anymore. Even with the small budget, the budget for the arts is even smaller. To be split between the 304 Rhode Island schools, $3,072,310 are given to the arts, leaving $10,106 per school. This is only 2% of the education budget. This puts the arts program at a large disadvantage, as their funding is very limited. Due to this limited funding, art teachers have to buy a lot of their own supplies. We spoke to Valerie Bruzzi, an art teacher at Cranston High School West, who said that she buys most of her own supplies. When we asked her about this, she laughed sarcastically and said,
"I spend an enormous amount of money, every year on art supplies. And because our budget gets tighter and tighter. Yet, they really love and relish the fact that our kids are winners for Scholastics or all the awards. However, the budget never grows, but the price of art supplies grows and grows and grows. Like a sheet of paper, what my first year teaching, rag paper was only $1. Now it's like $6, so the same sheet of rag paper. So that doesn't come out of our budget. We get bond paper because that's what they offer us, but it gets pretty expensive.
It is hard for students to be creative in school when there aren't enough supplies for them to do so. Ms. Fatulli, the 2018 Golden Apple award-winning theater teacher at West, echoed this sentiment, stating that she buys all of her scripts, costumes, etc., with money she makes from the plays she puts on at the school. No funding is provided to her by the school.
It's like to get a class set of Our Town scripts. You know, I buy that out of the theater money. So you might say, like, is that the way it should be happening? Like, we put on a play, and a play makes money. So then I take that money to support what's happening in the classes. And it's like, it's just, there's a lot of things that really, I think, are not being done right. Who knows, maybe the next generation will come along and you can fix some of these things, you know?
However, she suggested that while this is not ideal, the lack of theater funding could spark creativity.
I also feel, though, that, you know, in terms of creativity, I think that sometimes money can actually be prohibiting, meaning it's like a double-edged sword. You know, we go to Broadway and we see, you know, ridiculous things that are being done, you know, but it's, we're talking multi-million dollar projects. But I'll never forget my theater teacher coming in to work with my kids about 6 years ago, and he literally came in with masking tape, newspaper, and markers, and he said, "That's all you have to create your costumes and your props." And you, I will never forget a girl, I know. I'll never forget a girl who took newspaper and folded it, accordion pleated the newspaper. You know what I mean by that, right? Like to make it like a fan. But she accordion pleated the newspaper, and then she took a band of newspaper. She created an apron out of newspaper, right? And I was like, that, it's like something like that you'd see, you know, like I love Project Runway. So you know how sometimes they make them create things with like found objects? And I was like, oh my God, you know? Or another girl like took all the newspaper and she like, I think I saved it forever. I don't know why I was so blown away. She created this axe like out of newspaper. And I was like, wow. So it's just that sometimes I think that low budget can actually inspire you to be more creative.
Either way, funding continues to be taken from the arts. When discussing the Rhode Island school budget, Rhode Island Superintendent Janine Notamassi described a need for access to technology, improved science labs, and other new programs, so kids can be 21st century learners. No mention of the need for creativity among learners. Along with a lack of supplies, the art spaces and classrooms are in disrepair.
As we have just finished a production, so kind of, you know, working in the space is very fresh in my mind. Some of the immediate concerns that I have is dressing rooms that haven't been updated since the building was created. So it might not seem important, but new counters, replacement of light bulbs, fixing the plumbing up there when you have 30 to 50 students up in a facility where there's only two bathrooms, it can be a little problematic.
While there is definite disrepair among the arts classes, the schools as a whole need to be repaired. $2.2 billion in repairs is needed. It is difficult for kids to think and concentrate in general when they are cold, sitting in a broken chair, or being forced out of their classroom due to mold, never mind thinking creatively. Thankfully, schools are getting some money for these repairs. Governor Gina Raimondo has proposed a $250 million budget for school repairs. While this would only repair some major problems, it will help to make schools a better space for both education and creativity. However, much more funding is needed for the arts programs to stimulate kids' creativity. With more supplies, not only would the products produced be better, but it would show that schools hold creativity as an important aspect of learning. Teachers could also do new, interesting projects with their students and not have to burden themselves with extra expenses or fear of having inadequate materials for their students.
Another part of our school system that seems to be against creativity in the classroom is the curriculum. Between essays for quarterly assessments, standardized testing, and classes that seem to be only lecture-based, kids don't really have the opportunity to be creative in class. For most major classes in school, kids do a quarterly assessment once a quarter. This seems like a good time for the students to show their creativity, whether it's playing their instrument in the band, sculpting in art, or writing a poem in English. Instead, most classes write something based on a document or a piece of art or music. The entire class has to do the same thing, which can make it boring and leaves no room for creativity. For example, the Cranston West Band is working on songs for their winter concert currently. This is one of the songs, titled Sparks, that they have been working on. However, they can't use recordings of them playing for their quarterly assessment or their portfolio. Instead, they have to write paragraphs about the meaning of the song, make connections to the meaning, and analyze how well they played. These situations happen in most of the creativity-based classes. When speaking to Ms. Bruzzi, she said,
"Quarterly assessments are bogus. I think all it does is it verifies somebody who's a higher-up's job, and it appeases the masses. Instead of taking that time to do something else that's more important, maybe, like, than less. I'd rather have that class time utilized, because sometimes it takes them three class periods to get it done, you know, for an assessment that I don't really care about. Because my kids do things that are really substantial for future careers. The assessments are just to tell somebody else, okay, they're doing their job, we're doing our job, but I do my job. I don't need an assessment to verify my kids are doing their work. And I think they should let teachers be teachers instead of monitoring every little thing we do through assessments. So I'm opposed greatly to an assessment."
This ends up affecting the portfolio during senior year, which is a mix of all different quarterly assessments done during the last 4 years, presented to a panel of teachers. Instead of the students showing a range of projects they chose that interested them and that allowed them to be creative, they end up showing a lot of essays, which also makes it less interesting to the teachers watching. Another aspect of the curriculum that does not allow for much creativity in our schools is the classes we have to take to graduate. To graduate from Cranston West, it is required that you have 4 math credits, 4 English credits, 3 history credits, and 3 science credits, but only 1 fine arts credit. This forces kids who are more creative and don't want to go into a science, math, English, or history career to take a lot of classes they aren't as interested in and doesn't allow them to be creative as they would be in an art, music, or theater class. Even if the amount of English, history, math, and science credits needed to graduate stayed the same, there are ways that teachers could make these subjects more interesting to learn and allow creativity, but the curriculum doesn't help that. Because the curriculum has so many different things teachers have to share with their classes, most classes end up mainly being lecture-based, and if teachers wanted to teach something that wasn't in the curriculum, they wouldn't have the time to do so. Changing our school's curriculum to have less mandatory points would allow teachers to do more projects or lessons that allowed students to be more creative, such as writing a creative writing piece in English. Although the curriculum can be seen as all bad, it does have its good aspects as well. When we talked to Evan Lancia, an English and creative writing teacher at Cranston High School West, he had this to say.
I think Common Core is good in a way, but I think that in certain aspects it doesn't allow for as much freedom as I would like, which is why I really enjoy my creative writing honors and my imaginative writing college prep classes, because those give me the freedom to try things, to really do different things and kind of try and implement new things or things that I wouldn't be necessarily allowed to do in a regular level class. The creative writing and the imaginative writing lets me do short stories, lets me do memoirs, screenwriting, things that I typically wouldn't have time for in, you know, a regular like American Lit class or something.
Due to students taking many math, English, science, and history classes, they end up with a lot of homework. Most every class gives it, and some classes tend to give hours of homework each night. This ends up taking up most of a student's time out of school, which limits the amount of creative activities they could do, such as painting, sketching, writing, etc., during this time. While this is most likely an unintended consequence, it still hinders children's ability to be creative. A way teachers might be able to help this issue is by trying a flipped classroom, where kids can listen to a lecture or watch a video at home and then do the classwork in school with help from the teacher. This works much better because the students can have help with the work while they are doing it, and they will have much less homework. With less homework after school, students can take the time to do their favorite creative activities or creative school clubs, such as the art club, marching band, coffee shop, etc.
While our school does have many clubs that allow creativity among students, there is no shortage of new activities that could be added to stimulate and nurture creativity in young people. One such activity is painting the walls of the school building. Western Hills Middle School has multiple murals throughout the lower level that were painted by students. This allowed students to be creative, improve the school environment, and show off their skill. Allowing the students to paint the hallways would help nourish their creativity, allow them to feel proud of themselves, and realize that they have contributed to their school community in a big way. Students walking through the halls would love seeing bright, colorful paintings in an otherwise dreary building, and it may inspire creativity among them.
The arts also do not tend to get very much recognition from the school community. We always hear about it when our sports team wins their games, but we almost never hear about it when a student wins an art award, makes it into All-State Band, writes an award-winning poem, etc. The person that normally congratulates the student is their parents and the other art students and teachers. These wins aren't announced during the morning announcements, while congratulations are always given to sports teams. This can make people feel as if their skills are less appreciated, possibly diminishing their drive to create. While people can talk about a football game for upwards of a week, art awards are often forgotten about almost immediately and are often not congratulated. The school should take more time to congratulate art achievements, such as announcing them in the morning announcements and putting their photos on the televisions at lunch. While they don't speak about it much, the school does hang up artwork in the main entrance along with some large paintings in the art wing. However, they're normally only glanced at briefly on students' ways out of school. The artwork should also be extended further than just the art wing so it is seen more frequently and appreciated more. For example, winning poems could be hung in the English wing and art pieces could be hung elsewhere in the building. This would not only spread the students' creativity and hard work, but also spread a sense of creative energy throughout the whole school.
While the previously mentioned aspects of school diminish students' creativity, another possible reason for this decrease in creativity is kids' parents along with the school. Parents in schools tend to push children to STEM careers such as being an engineer or a lawyer, claiming that the arts won't provide a stable life and therefore aren't a viable career option. At Cranston West, there is a career in tech program that starts children off on a career path. Yet, out of the 11 programs, there are only 3 creativity-based programs: culinary arts, digital media, and graphics. This can be discouraging to kids because they feel the arts aren't legitimate careers, even if they love it. This may make them focus more on their other classes. I remember when I was little, I told my mom that I wanted to be a musician. She looked me up and down and said that's not a stable career. To little me, that was extremely hard to hear. It hurt to know that what I wanted to do wouldn't make me money. Now I understand that my mom only wants what's best for me, but it was still very painful. Parents shouldn't tell their kids that having a career in the arts will always be stable and make them lots of money, because that isn't always the case. Parents should tell their kids the reality of going into a highly creative field, but they also shouldn't discourage their children. There's a difference between saying you can do this but and you can't do this because. Also, parents tend to reward their children when they get a good grade in science and math, but don't care as much about their art grades. Getting a bad grade in science and math often seems like the end of the world according to your parents, but a bad grade in art is more acceptable because some kids just aren't as good as art. However, everyone is expected by parents and schools to be good at math, science, English, history, etc. As Ms. Bruzy said,
I think another reason why I see lack of creativity is because everyone wants the A. And so because they want that A, they have to play it safe. And I don't think we let our kids fail because parents don't want them to fail. So I think you get creativity when you fail.
Some math, science, English, and history are needed to be functioning adults, but creativity in art is also very important and should be held by parents as important parts of an education. Today, people need to be creative. The world is changing, and the only way to keep up with it is to think creatively.
It's the right side of the brain that gets touched when you have art. That's the creative side, that's the genius side. When you just develop a left side brainer, they don't get to that level where they're impressive and they're creative and they're inventive. So the arts help that. And there's studies on it. So I'm not just talking to you about this. There are studies that show when you develop both right and left side of the brains, that's where you find your genius.
If everyone only thought about the math or the science we learned in school, then the world wouldn't progress. Solutions to existing problems and new technological developments depend on creative minds.
I mean, if you looked at great inventors, you would see that if they didn't fail, we wouldn't move forward in anything. But when you don't let people fail, and they're very nervous about failing, you don't get anything special out of them. That's my opinion.
Creativity truly pushes the world to move forward. It needs to be nurtured both at home and in schools.
Overall, schools could do more to encourage and keep creativity among students. With very little funding, a restrictive curriculum, limited recognition, and excessive amounts of homework, schools in Rhode Island as a whole discourage and decrease creativity among their students. While there are components that lead to a decreased creativity in children as they get older, such as parents discouraging a career in the arts, schools do play a large role. Many improvements could be made to nurture and keep creativity in children.